sang out a song of the soul.
And we'll sing this song. Why don't you sing along? And we can sing.
Music has an incredible ability to proclaim the soul's language beyond what mere words can speak. That is what we seek as we invite our guests to share their song of the soul. Be it joy and laughter, sorrow and tears, awe and insight, or deepest devotion, as we visit and listen, we are all part of a spiritual voyage called Song of the Soul. Both this week and next week for Song of the Soul, we celebrate Cy Khan's 80th birthday through songs Cy has written, but which are performed here by the hand-chosen successors to Cy's work and music. This week, we have Phoebe Rees and Joe Jenks, each having taken a large collection of Cy's as-yet-unreleased songs and created from them their own albums of Cy's music, with Cy's support. Phoebe lives in Whitley Bay in northeastern England, and Joe Jenks is based in Chicago. And if you don't know Cy, Phoebe, or Joe, it's time to remedy that serious shortcoming and to find your place in the wide human community that flows from Cy Khan. We had production help today from Andrew Jansen. The sad fact is that this radio broadcast version of this program is missing significant portions and two songs from my visits with Phoebe and Joe, which you can remedy by listening to the full uncut version on northernspiritradio.org. We'll start out this celebration of the work and music of Cy Khan by joining Phoebe Rees by Zoom in northeastern England. Phoebe, it's delightful to have you here today for Song of the Soul.
Thank you. Good to be speaking with you.
You're over in the UK. Specify for our listeners exactly where you are, because you haven't always been there. You just moved, I think.
Yeah, I'm now based in the northeast of England, just outside of Newcastle, where I've been living for almost 3 years now. But I've just moved out to a place called Whitley Bay on the coast.
Music is your life, is it not? Or is there something else that you do when you don't want to be playing your fiddle, your viola, piano, your guitar? Do you do something else with your life, or is it all music, you know, an endless song?
A lot of it is music at the moment. But yeah, I'm a big lover of the outdoors, and I'll be kind of out on big long walks at the moment along the Northumberland coast and the hills, or the Welsh hills, and yeah, doing things outside or in the sea. I recently got back into the sea swimming at the moment.
Sea swimming, isn't it rather cool in that water?
Very. So swimming's a bit of an exaggeration, mostly dipping at the moment. But
I have a 7-year-old granddaughter who a couple of weeks ago, she was at a family cabin thing, and I guess they did sauna, and then she went in diving into the lake. And this is Wisconsin, where I'm living, which it's spring here, but spring is, well, it's trying its best. So this is really a cold dip, but she loved it.
Yeah, it's very invigorating and good tonic for especially the winter, which, yeah, spring's taking its time over here.
So I'm connected up with you because Cy Khan mentioned your name and actually shared your album with me. So I've listened to all the wonderful music. I was not prepared for you to be as young as you are, because you feel so very accomplished. Your singing, your voice, your musical ability is beyond your years. Where did you dive into music, and how did you connect with Cy Khan?
Yeah, I've been playing and singing for a very long time. I was lucky to start music young. I grew up in a musical household. Parents loved music, you know, and had lots of records lying around and instruments, and we always had a piano in the house. Yeah, when I was sort of growing up in Scotland, I started singing with the National Youth Choir of Scotland from a really young age. So that gave me that kind of background in singing, which I've carried through all the way. And yeah, started learning fiddle when we moved up to the Highlands of Scotland. So that kind of gave me a bit of a background in traditional Scottish music, which I played alongside my classical training as well. And I went down to study the viola, actually classical viola, in Edinburgh and London. Finished that studying in 2016, and then took a bit of time to reflect on where I wanted to go musically, and found myself very drawn to singing again. because the focus had been quite a lot on, you know, playing viola. So yeah, I found myself quite drawn to singing songs that meant something to me at that time, or trying to find meaning in what I was singing. And I looked to quite a bit of the music from sort of 60s, 70s folk revival, and a bit of a catalogue of Joan Baez, and kind of stumbled across the song Mississippi Summer by Psy. Fell in love with the song. I heard the recording of it by June Tabor, English folk singer, June Tabor and the Oyster Band. Was aware of Psy Khan from local folk singing sessions, and a good friend of ours and our family used to sing Psy Khan's song, It's What You Do With What You've Got. So I was aware of that song and Psy being attached to that song, but hadn't realised that Psy was also the writer of Mississippi Summer, you know, until I'd sort of learnt the song. And so I played that, recorded it on the EP that you mentioned earlier, Roe Deer. And it was when I was checking out the mechanical license situation for recording a song that I was put in touch with Psy Khan's publishers. I had a reply in an email back from Psy. And so the correspondence began, really. And he got in touch to let me know that he enjoyed my rendition of Mississippi Summer, and a couple of Zooms later had asked if I would like to record a full album of his songs. That's how Bring in the Light came about.
And we should mention for our listeners, the album is officially released on Psy's 80th birthday, which is 23rd of April. So as I'm speaking to you, it hasn't been released, but how many people have it besides me?
Yeah, it's sort of not officially been released yet, but I have done two sort of album launch parties over here in the UK. So down in Oswestry and Chester and in the kind of folk clubs where I started singing and performing. So there's a growing number of people now that have a physical copy, but it's not online or anything yet. It's that'll be end of April.
It says on your website that you've been particularly drawn to English folk and American folk tradition, but I also see places, I think Brazil, I don't know. You seem to get around a bit. Do you have unlimited travel license or what?
I love traveling. I really do. And I got the chance to go to Brazil in my last year, actually, of finishing studying in London. I took part in a sort of community music project in São Paulo. It was through a youth orchestra out there. But I got the chance to share some of the Scottish traditional music with them, which the same when I went over to India and worked on this children's choir project. I always noticed that it's the kind of sharing of the traditional music that brings quite a lot of connection. That kind of sharing of traditions is lovely.
Well, we're here to recognize the 80th birthday for Psy Khan, and you're going to share some of the music you recorded on Bring in the Light. What do you want to share first?
I think we could start maybe with the track number one on the album. It's a song called High on a Mountain with Olabel Reed. I mean, this is a song that I was quite drawn to. It's one of the ones that hasn't been recorded before. So part of the process with choosing the songs to go on this album, Psy would sort of send across files, like MP3 files, of just a collection of some of his songs that he'd like me to have listened to. And quite a large number of those hadn't been officially released. So this was one of those. So the song refers to this musician, banjo player and singer, Olabel Reed, from Grassy Creek, North Carolina. She was quite influential, I think, over Psy and Psy's musical career and output. And I liked that it was a kind of homage to her and her virtuoso banjo. And the song that she sings that she's quite well known for is High on a Mountain. And that's a song that I think I might have just been introduced to it after meeting Psy and learning about this song. But I learned High on a Mountain as well, and so quite enjoy singing both of them. And at the end of this song, there's a direct quote of Olabel Reed's High on a Mountain. So it goes into the first verse of that.
Well, this sounds like real fun. It is a bluegrassy feel to me. It's mountain music, and it's coming to us from Psy Khan, channeled through Phoebe Reese here today for Song of the Soul. Here is, in homage of Psy Khan's 80th birthday, High on a Mountain with Olabel Reed, performed by Phoebe Reese.
I am high, but I'm not drinking. I'm sober as a judge. It's just lately I've been thinking about the things path. I have followed down her road. I feel her spirit every day. Though she died some years ago, no song I sing can say how much she means to me. I am high on a mountain with Olabelle Reed. High on a mountain with Olabelle Reed.
It's so wonderful to be able to reach across the Atlantic Ocean to connect with Phoebe Reese today for Song of the Soul. Her website, phoebereese.co.uk. And Reese is R-E-E-S. I was also curious about how much of a leap it is to go from Scottish fiddle and other fiddles around the UK and going to the mountains of Appalachia to bluegrass. Is that a long journey in terms of what you're doing?
Oh, yeah, good question. Yes, there are different mindsets and setups. And sometimes I have to put away my Scottish traditional hat to especially to get into old time American fiddle music, because you need to relax into that, whereas you don't relax into playing a kind of Scottish Strathspey. The technique is quite different. And I even find that with when I play English traditional tunes and the Irish jigs, like there are slight differences of techniques involved, which is the lovely thing about, that's what I feel so blessed for having played now the fiddle and violin for. Somebody pointed out to me that it was 22 years that I've played it for now. And it's
since you were nine?
Yeah. So I was nine when I started playing. It's nice to get to know an instrument so well. It takes time, though. Like, it definitely takes a bit of time and space to get into that, into the different styles of music. But I love doing it.
And you also play viola, which I'm not quite sure of what the difference is. I've seen violas and so on. But do you have to do a mind transplant again to go to viola? At one point you're a Scot, and another time you're in the Appalachian Mountains, and another time you're just, what about viola? What do you do differently?
Yeah, viola, it's just that little bit bigger and the strings are lower. But the way that I play now, I very rarely read the kind of written music. So I don't have to think about transposing any sort of written music or anything. But I love using the viola now to accompany myself for singing. I do a bit on fiddle as well. But for the viola, it's just got that little bit more depth which must just fit with the range of my voice, or it just provides that slightly more full texture to sing over. So that's why I really like using the viola now. But of course, I detune the strings quite a lot, so I very rarely play the viola anymore at concert pitch, at the sort of, you know, pitch that it was meant to be tuned for. And obviously, that's quite a feature of old-time string playing.
Now, as you mentioned, on your first release, your EP, Roe Deer, you included Miss B. Summer. It seems interesting to me, because I'm so much older than you are, that you're playing a song, you're evoking the emotions, the feelings, the incredible life view that comes from Mississippi Summer, which happened over 30 years before you were born. I'm just wondering, are you unusual in that you can channel and connect so deeply? It's very clear to me that you're connecting deeply emotionally with these things. As someone of your generation, is this normal maybe in the UK? Here in the US, there's considerably fewer American folk singers at the age of 30.
I think there is, at the moment, there's a really thriving young UK folk scene. And I think there's a lot of younger musicians now who are getting really drawn to finding meaning, I think, in music. And then the folk genre just provides so much of that, you know, through the stories that come through songs. Like, that's kind of where I was coming from when I learnt Mississippi Summer. And it's one of those moments, I think, that you have to fall back on. The kind of the music transcends the kind of logical thought and words, really, because it is all wrapped up in the kind of the music, the reason behind singing these songs, I think. But I think it's testimony to the song itself, though, as well, because the way that, and lots of people comment after I've sing Mississippi Summer in a gig, they always comment on that song and what a good song it is. Yes, they like my arrangement of it, but the song itself, and I know that it is one of size that a lot of singers and artists are quite compelled to sing. So there's something in the power of that song as well, I think, that pulls you in.
I'm thinking that Psy has a special gift, a gift to channel roots. I think through his songs, you almost feel connected not only to the history, but to the very roots, the earth out of which it comes. And even though he's been an activist forever and an organizer, he doesn't do it in a political way, it doesn't feel like, which is one of the beauties of it. He's doing it from the roots. Were your leanings, liberal, progressive? Liberal, I realize, might have a different meaning in the UK from what it has in the US, but that kind of progressive political activist, peace, justice, was that already in you, or does that get nurtured by the music?
A bit of both, and it's definitely nurtured by the music. I find now, present time, I find that the music nurtures that need for me to kind of address some of the difficult issues. I think for me, without the music, I'd find it difficult to be as proactive. But equally, the music makes you really feel things on a very deep level as well. So I have a bit of a kind of hard to pinpoint it sometimes, but I have quite a strong socialist background and upbringing. So that was definitely there from early on. And now it's a kind of meeting of both through the music and the politics. And definitely this work with Psy's songs has fed that and encouraged it. But also, and been a whirlwind, because it's been my first album. So there's been the whole part of that. Been a big journey, really, but one I'm very grateful for.
Folks, if you are listening to the full uncut version of this interview from the NordenspiritRadio.org website, you'd hear the full song and discussion of Bella Follett. But you're not yet doing that, so perhaps I had better ask Phoebe. What song do you want to share now?
Yeah, the final song to share, again, it's another one that has not been officially released. I think Psy made a sort of YouTube video of this at the time that he wrote it. So he wrote it in 2020. It's called Freedom is a Constant Song. And I kind of wanted to share this one because we've talked a little bit about Mississippi Summer, which is the song that he wrote after his time spent working as part of the civil rights movement in the 60s. And Freedom is a Constant Song is one of his more recent ones, but it came about in 2020 with the Black Lives Matter movement and the marches that were happening. And he talks in the song about looking down from his window and seeing the marchers on the streets, and how it sort of brought back a kind of flood of powerful memories for him. On the album, I wanted Mississippi Summer and Freedom is a Constant Song to be next to each other. They are on there, and just quite like that sort of bookending of starting his career in sort of 1965 as part of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. And yeah, I suppose it's a bit of a message with this song that the things that you fight for and campaign for possibly are always going to be ongoing, but it's, you know, just as important to keep on singing the songs and doing the work as well.
We were talking earlier about the way that I think Cy Khan seeds change, movement, energy for healing this world through his music. The central issue in this song, Freedom is a Constant Song, is about racism in the United States. But you're over in the UK. You've never been to the US. So is racism the same kind of thing there? Or maybe you're more advanced? It does seem to me that the UK, you got to abolishing slavery and slave trade before the US got to it. I think the US got way too invested in it, and it became this albatross. So through his song and his reflections on Black Lives Matter and so on, does this apply to life in the UK?
I think so. I mean, it's, you know, 2020 was kind of felt all over, wasn't it? And yeah, even though the kind of the roots of the marches sort of stemmed in the US, it was definitely felt over here for sure. And, you know, with the murder of George Floyd, and I think these scars just run deep. And it's important, I think, to bring as much attention to it as possible. And even just looking at 2020, it's 4 years now, isn't it? And I feel sometimes that the messages kind of die down a little bit as well, you know, that it surges up when something awful happens. It's still kind of important to keep those messages, I think.
I'm so grateful that Cy Khan has written these songs. He's captured some of the angst and the triumph that happens at various points along the way. He captures that in his music. And to have you carrying it out there and passing it on to folks over in the UK seems like exactly what we want to do with our lives. Some of us do our own little thing and don't bother passing it on, but Cy has dedicated his life to passing on these good things, the needful things, on to the next generation. And it's so wonderful that your heart was a receptive place for those seeds to grow. It's just so beautiful to see that. I want to thank you for channeling Cy's music. I'm equally hopeful that what you'll do is put out your next album, and then you'll contact me and say, Mark, I want to do my own full Song of the Soul. Can I hold you to that one?
Yeah, that's a good motivation and thing for me to work towards. Yes, please, that would be lovely.
Well, speaking of lovely things, here is the last song that we're going to share from Phoebe Reese today. Freedom is a Constant Song. It was written by Cy Khan, not recorded by him, not released on an album by Cy Khan. But fortunately, there's an album full of Cy Khan's song that Phoebe Reese has released called Bring in the Light. It's linked on northernspiritradio.org. Here is Freedom is a Constant Song. Thank you so much, Phoebe.
Thank you. Thanks, Mark.
Join in the song, folks. Freedom is a Constant Song.
I remember 1965 in a country church singing freedom songs. Good people struggling to survive, asking why must it take so long. Late this evening I can hear through my window high above young marchers singing back the fear against the chill of a dream gone wrong. They bring us courage, hope and love, for freedom is a constant song. Freedom is a constant song. 50 years since I first learned these songs of longing to be free. past all the bridges that they've burned. They hearten and encourage me. Late this evening I can hear through my window high above young marchers singing back the fear against the chill of a dream gone wrong. They bring us courage, hope and love, for freedom is a constant song. Freedom is a constant song. I am so grateful that tonight I saw these marchers come again. No work to do except what's right. No words to say except amen. Late this evening I can hear through my window high above young marchers singing back the fear against the chill of a dream gone wrong. They bring us courage, hope and love, for freedom is a constant song. Freedom is a constant song. For freedom is a constant song. Freedom is a constant song.
I do so love the music that pours through Phoebe Rees all the way from northeastern England, conveying songs that Cy Conn has entrusted to her. Today for Song of the Soul, we're celebrating the 80th birthday of folk musician and activist Cy Conn through the voices and instruments of some of the many folk Cy has inspired and empowered. Check the NordenspiritRadio.org website for links to everyone we featured here on Song of the Soul and also on our Spirit in Action show. Post a comment while you're there and think about donating to support our work. We need you to make our work for the world sustainable. And don't forget to tune in and support your local community radio station, like the 35 or so stations that carry our programs. But let's scoot right on to the second performer we have here to help us delight in Cy Conn's 80 Years on the Earth, Joe Jenks. And keep in mind that in this broadcast version of our interview, you're missing out on about 12 minutes of our visit with Joe, including a full song. But here's Joe Jenks. Hey, Joe, it's great to see you again so soon. It was just, what, a couple months ago we were talking.
Yeah, great to see you too, Mark.
Very shortly, Cy is turning 80 years old. He's had something like 20 albums. Some of them maybe are collections or repeats of parts of it. But he's got all this influential music and music that he's written that he's never put out. That, fortunately, you have at least one album which includes that music. It's called The Forgotten. And so Cy says, well, you know, I want to talk to someone about my birthday. Talk to Joe Jenks. What's your connection with Cy?
I've known Cy Conn for just almost 25 years. I met him at a Folk Alliance conference. And you don't always know, I think especially as a younger person, you don't know when you meet someone that it's possible that person will be in your life for decades. Because everywhere you go when you're younger is a new place and you're meeting new people. I see this differently because I'm not quite as old as Cy was when we met, but I'm starting to get into the zone. And I meet people now that are 30 years younger than me, 25 years younger than me. And I pretty immediately know when I've met someone that I am interested in staying in touch with, when I've met somebody who is viewing the world in a way that is of interest to me, that is meaningful or kind of teaches me something or helps me reframe what I am perceiving. And I have every expectation in those moments that I will continue to be in community with that person for decades to come, assuming that we're both on the planet. And so I have to credit Sai in some ways for having chosen me as a friend, because I didn't realize at that point in my career or my life how significant my friendship with Sai would become. But I think he immediately recognized in me a kindred spirit and, you know, just sort of adopted me into his circle. Over the years, we had more conversations. We cultivated our friendship through trade unionism and activism. And then he approached me around 2010, I want to say. And he sent me something in the neighborhood of like 76 songs that he had written and never recorded and did not anticipate that he would get around to recording. Some of them were sort of pencil sketches and scraps of songs. Some of them were completed, but were, you know, like I could tell, oh, he was on his way to a particular picket line or a particular rally or a particular event when he wrote this song because he wanted to have something fresh for that event. But he sort of recycled his own melodies and his own rhyme schemes. So as I was working through a process of elimination on this music, I started categorizing, oh, it's a this kind of song or a this kind of song or a that kind of song, and breaking them out into themes so that as I was pondering how to parse out this collection of material that he had sent me, I was grabbing many different genres within his writing. It took me some years because I was really busy on the road to get back into the project, but around about, I think, 2016, I started diving more deeply into that project again and sifting through the songs and getting back with him and saying, hey, I really want to record this song, but it's incomplete. Can you get me another verse for this song? Or, hey, I can't sing the words that you were singing 40 years ago to this song. There are gender challenges in the way that you're describing things. Here's a rewrite of the song that I did that's basically your tune, but rearranged with language that feels more inclusive to me or that feels more accessible to a modern aesthetic on language. So it was pretty collaborative and a lot of back and forth, and he gave me a very free hand musically. And so these are all fresh arrangements. If you go back and listen to the pencil sketch recordings that he sent me as demos and what these songs turned into, some of them are very different. But they're the stories that he was telling, and they are from within that body of work, the stories that to me felt most relevant to the world in the present moment. And so it's called The Forgotten Recovered Treasures from the Pen of Sai Khan. But it really was compositionally a musical work that I had a heavy hand in from the musical side. The final product is one of the most beautiful sonic tapestries that I've ever been a part of creating. It tells deep and rich stories, three of which I think we're going to talk about today.
Actually, folks, if you are listening to the full uncut version of this program from the NorthernSpiritRadio.org website, you would hear Joe Jenks perform three songs, but on this broadcast version, you miss out on the song Third Shift. But after that portion of the visit, Joe has some important observations for us.
It is, in music, a testimony to the power of collaboration. And part of what Sai and Ken Whiteley and myself are all about, not just artistically, but of course politically, is the power of collaboration. It's what trade unions are, a demonstration of the power of collaboration and collective action, collective bargaining. And rather than be a picket line or a protest album, what I really wanted to do was lift from Sai Khan's work some of the more beautiful narratives that he had documented over 4 decades of writing, but had never gotten around to recording, I think because he didn't quite find a way to express these ideas musically in a way that was satisfying to himself. And Ken Whiteley and I just had a blast playing with these songs. It was really good fun. There's another song on this, Shuttle and Loom, that kicks off the album. And being a Celt, being an Irishman, I couldn't resist really leaning into the 6/8 time and the dance rhythm of this, because it's a song about women working in textile mills. It also is a song about a worker, first person, in this case a woman, just expressing the truth of the reality that she lives in. it's a phenomenal song. And I don't know why Cy didn't put it out there in the world sooner at a different time in his life, because it feels of a piece. It feels like a companion to some of his most famous labor and worker-centered songs. But it got written and left along the wayside, not unlike Phil Oak's song Hands, that he wrote and performed, I think, once at the bitter end and then never played again that anybody can tell. And luckily somebody had some tape rolling that night and recorded it. And then Betty and the Boomers, I think that's the name of the group, recorded it. And that's how Pat Humphreys first heard it. And then she did a beautiful recording of it. And that's how I learned it. It is my hope that the songs on this album will travel further as a result of having recorded them and put them in the world in tangible forms that other artists can pick up and carry forward, because they are all testimony to the life that Cy has lived, to the work that he has done, but also his observations of the human experience and the human heart. I think it is so easy to dismiss Cy as a protest singer or a political writer or topical writer and miss that the through line of his life, his work, his music, his community relationships, the through line is this immense compassion for other human beings and an ability to capture complex narrative in bite-sized nuggets that people can digest and therefore cultivate a little bit of compassion themselves for the people inside those stories. And Shuttle and Loom just captures that in such a unique way.
Let's do it. Shuttle and Loom, written by Cy Conn, performed by Joe Jenks.
Down from the mountains when I was 16, milk, cows, chickens, taters and beans, sweet spring water from out of the hill. Gave it all up and I went to the mill. Shuttle and loom, bobbin and frame, sometimes I don't even know my own name. What in the world is a woman to do when all that she's got is her shuttle and loom? Shuttle and loom. Hoot, owl, graveyard, whistle and sing. Still tell a joke when you're working on the swing. But working the day shift, don't make a sound. Running so scared cause the boss is around. Shuttle and loom, bobbin and frame. Sometimes I don't even know my own name. What in the world is a woman to do when all that she's got is her shuttle and loom? Shuttle and loom. Where are the mountains? Where are the streams? Where are the rivers I fish in my dreams? Where are the songs my family sung? Where are the days I was carefree and young? Shuttle and loom, bobbin and frame. Sometimes I don't even know my own name. What in the world is a woman to do when all that she's got is her shuttle and loom? Shuttle and loom. Counting the days, counting the years as my life slips away. Swiftly like water out of the hill. Lord help the woman who works in the mill. Shuttle and loom, bobbin and frame. Sometimes I don't even know my own name. What in the world is a woman to do? All that she's got is her shuttle and loom. Shuttle and loom, bobbin and frame. Sometimes I don't even know my own name. What in the world is a woman to do when all that she's got is her shuttle and loom? Shuttle and loom.
If you go to Joe Jenks' website, which is joejenks.com, Jenks is J-E-N-C-K-S, the link's on nordenspiritradio.org, you'll find something like 9 albums, I think, that you've released. That's what appears to show on your website.
Yeah, I've done 17 releases total in my career, but some of them are not up on my solo website. 3 of them were with a trio that I co-founded, Brother Sun. And there are a few EPs or shorter discs that are no longer in circulation that I don't have on the website because they're just not available anymore. The most recent album of mine, The Coming of the Years, was a deep dive into my Irish heritage and the experience of the diaspora. But it was inspired in part by doing this work on the Psychon Psalms, because I just tapped into a vein of thinking thematically in a different way when I was working on this record. And that sort of illuminated a pathway for me about other themes that I might explore. And I hadn't done a thematic record since 2005 when I released Rise as One, which was an all labor album. And Cy initially approached me and wanted me to make a labor album. And I listened to the songs that he sent and I said, no, I don't want to make a labor album. I've already made an all labor album. Maybe I'll do another one. But these songs are about workers, but it's not a labor album in the context of like rah-rah up with the union. Although there is a song at the end of the album called You Are the You in Union that does kind of convey that message, but ever so gently. But what really grabbed me again is the rich human narrative that Cy had told through so many of these songs. And for one reason or another, never chosen to put them on albums. And so there's songs about teachers, there's songs about workers, there's songs about education itself, about the value of education. There are songs that document places come and gone. There's a song called Youngstown that I will shout Youngstown, that's an homage to the way in which the modern engine of capitalism and industry will build infrastructure and then just as quickly dismiss it if it's no longer profitable. And Youngstown was one of those places. Toledo was one of those places. Flint, Michigan was one of those places. And my hometown of Rockford, Illinois was one of those places. I don't live in Rockford anymore, but I have fondness in my heart for that city. And it was a booming, thriving place for more than 100 years. And then with the collapse of the steel industry in the U.S., secondary and tertiary manufacturing disappeared. At one point in my childhood, unemployment in Rockford was over 25%. And so I picked up some of the themes in this record with a deep understanding of the emotion that was driving these songs, even if they were short. Hudai is a name of a town in Ontario, a manufacturing plant up there in the automotive industry. And that song just tells a very precise story about people choosing to make their stand in a particular place. But the through line is this deeply human element. And for Cy, as he approaches his 80th birthday this month, I need to note that he was also deeply involved in the civil rights movement. He's been deeply involved in the effort to deconstruct the for-profit prison system. He co-founded the grassroots leadership organization and did a lot of community organizing through that. So he's had a hand in helping a lot of different communities think better about how they are reaching for their goals and using art as one of the tools at our disposal to help convey information and ideas to the outside world about why it is important to organize, about why certain things need to be different than they are. And as he was reflecting in conversations that we had about the civil rights movement, a couple of his songs really came into focus for me. And one of them was called I Have Seen Freedom Being Born. And this song describes a time period like 1964, 1965, in the window when SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, was coming to the understanding that they needed to be an all-Black organization or all people of color. And they graciously invited the many allies that were in their organization to go form other organizations to support the civil rights movement. But they needed SNCC to be a place where a different kind of conversation was happening between people of color and within the African-American communities. And Cy spent a brief period of time involved with SNCC and then was there in during that crossover. And this song is an amalgamation of many different experiences, but it paints such a stunning picture. And the bridge on this song, for there is patience watching from the cotton, anger buried in the bone, resistance waiting for the morning, water hidden in the stone. That's one of my favorite stanzas of poetry that Cy Khan has ever written, bar none, in his entire life. It gives me goosebumps every time I sing it. It's cinematic. And the story that he tells here as a witness to somebody else's work, as a witness to their movement, choosing to go south to be a part of that movement, if only for a brief period of time, and then finding within it his inspiration for the work that would then define him. He was in the military for a while during the Vietnam War. He was stateside. He was involved in documenting other people's stories through various forms of media. And then when he was done with that period of time, he went into labor organizing and from there into other things. But always civil rights and labor are hand in hand. These are parallel movements that are intertwined and connected to each other at so many points of intersection. And this song, I Have Seen Freedom Being Born, it's hard to say I have a favorite Cy Khan song. There are so many stunning pieces of music that he's put in the world and graciously allowed other people to interpret as they will, carrying the message forward. But I think this song ranks up there as possibly my favorite Cy Khan song ever.
Well, we're going to feature it again, 80th birthday for Cy Khan and Joe Jenks, having collaborated, worked, and produced an entire album of Cy's songs that Cy hadn't recorded and released. So it's kind of amazing to have Cy, I guess, knight you in the order of Cy Khan and send off Sir Joe Jenks to carry on this message, this prophecy of sorts, even.
It is definitely a commission. And I felt that when he handed me this material. He was handing a torch to me and inviting me to carry it forward. And just because I only produced one album from that material doesn't mean that there might not be another somewhere down the road, or that I might not revisit some of those songs in a different context, because in some cases the message was very specific to time and place, which is a useful form of artistic journalism. In other cases, the songs were quite universal, which is a different form of artistic expression, speaking to, you know, the timeless themes. And I am so grateful, not just for the professional support and the professional connection and the organizing and activism connection that I have with Cy as we celebrate his 80th birthday. And Cy, if you listen to this, thank you so much. I do not have words to express the depth of my gratitude to you and Elizabeth, both for your immense kindness. You know, this is the thing. Cy is just such a deeply compassionate human being. And so at different times in my life, when things were falling apart for me over the course of our friendship, as things do, if you're living a real life, you're going to have moments of challenge. Cy is one of the people who would just start calling me every so often and say, hey, just wanted to check in. I know you've been walking through some fire. And I would not have imagined 25 years ago when I met Cy that he and I would become friends in the way that we have, or that he would extend to me a very brotherly kind of attitude, but occasionally parental, you know, sort of hands off, but letting me know that he's there if I need him. And it's just a beautiful friendship that I am privileged to have with Cy, and through Cy also with his wife, Elizabeth, who's a phenomenal thinker and creative human being. And through her writing, kind of turns the world on its side and helps all of us see the world a little bit differently. I'm so grateful to be able to help celebrate Cy's birthday, and I'm grateful to carry this piece of his musical legacy forward through these songs, and I will continue to do that.
And I want to give you some recognition, Joe. I'm sure that maybe you had it in you beforehand, but maybe Sai's example transformed you. When I first interviewed you, it was something over 7 years ago. My wife was dealing with cancer at that time. And as part of the interview, part of my talking to you, I mentioned that to you. And so a few months later, you called me up and said, how's your wife doing now after the chemotherapy? And so I think in the same way that Sai Khan has nurtured so many of us, you keep passing on that love, passing it forward. And so I appreciate you, appreciate Sai Khan. And folks, we're going to, the last selection we're going to share from Joe Jenks' album, Recovered Treasures from the Pen of Sai Khan. It's known as The Forgotten. This song is I Have Seen Freedom Being Born, performed by Joe Jenks, joejenks.com, but written by Sai Khan. Thanks so much, Joe.
Thank you, Mark, and happy birthday, Sai Khan.
I Have Seen Freedom Being Born. May we all see that happening in our world.
Would I have known had I not seen the newsreels, black and white upon the screen? But I went south to march beside those heroes and tell the world what I had seen. So I have watched the bowls of cotton bursting white against the early morn. The marchers stretched along the bitter highway. I have seen freedom being born. Would I have known had I not heard their stories on shotgun porches bleached by sun? Would I believe had I not seen the troopers block the bridge with clubs and guns? But I have walked among the people marching, singing, we've been buked and we've been scored. I have seen the waters part before them. I have seen freedom being born. For there is patience watching from the cotton, anger buried in the bone, resistance waiting for the morning, water hidden in the stone. Nothing I write can make you feel their dignity. These heroes I have known by name. Nothing I do can match their quiet courage. I will never be the same. For I have heard their songs lift up to heaven. Rise from faces lined and worn. I have seen the gates swing wide to greet them. I have seen freedom being born. I have seen freedom being born. I have seen freedom being born.
What a powerful performance Joe Jenks turns out. That's the last bit for today's recognition of the 80 glorious years Sai Khan has spent on the earth, for which we're grateful and enchanted. We'll have a few more performers here next week to continue the celebration, so remember to join us next week for Song of the Soul and Sai Khan. The theme music for Song of the Soul is by Chris Williamson, and it is called Song of the Soul. Check out all things Song of the Soul on northernspiritradio.org, guests, links, stations, and a place for your feedback, suggestions, and support. Send your Songs of the Soul to me, Mark Helpsmeet, via the info on our website, and join us weekly for Song of the Soul.